Okay, so this week we're looking at John 16. I got a big kick out of doing this sermon as well. I sometimes start a sermon and I'm thinking, oh, I have to do another sermon. And it feels like almost work or whatever. But then I get into the Word of God, and the next thing I know, I've gone an hour and a half and have to cut down the sermon because it's too long. But at any rate, I really love studying the Word of God, and I hope you guys are learning to do that too. So, and I love the Book of John. I know this must be what the Lord wants because I hear from him so much.
I didn't switch the scripture out.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
So we'll just have to listen to it.
Yes.
Just read it out of the Bible.
Yep.
So John 16, I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. They will ban you from the synagogues. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering service to God. They will do these things because they haven't known the Father or me. But I have told you these things so that when the time comes, you may remember I told them to you. I didn't tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asks me, where are you going? Actually, they did. Thomas did. But at any rate, yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they don't believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own. He will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and I will declare it to you. A little while, and you will no longer see me. Again a little while, and you will see me. Therefore, some of his disciples said to one another, what is this about? He tells us. A little while, and you will not see me. Again a little while, you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father, they said, what is he saying? A little while. We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew they wanted to question him, so he said to them, are you asking one another about what I said? A little while you will not see me, again a little while and you will see me. I assure you, you will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she's given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will rob you of your joy. In that day, you will not ask me anything. I assure you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name. I am not telling you that I will make requests to the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. Ah, his disciples said, now you're speaking plainly and not using any figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came from God. Jesus responded to them, do you now believe? Look, an hour is coming and it has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Sometimes it gets a little twisted and we have a hard time understanding. But if we just take the time, you always reveal it to us. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus is preparing the disciples for the future. What is going to happen when he's not here anymore? Many terrible things are going to happen, both to them and to the Jewish people. They need to be ready for it. They need to have preparations. There's going to be persecutions. They're going to throw you out of synagogues, he says. Now, this is very similar to what the Catholics do, and I don't know, some other religions may do it too. As far as I know, we Baptists don't, but at any rate, if you're thrown out, then that's it for you. No more connection to God. We can cut you right off. As Christians, we don't believe that. We believe that everybody has a connection to God and that at any moment you can just say, Lord, I need you. I want to talk to you. And he will be right there no matter what. As I've told you before, this wonderful guy, Don Francisco, wrote a phrase in one of his songs. I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you can imagine that's greater than my love, and it's all yours if you'll just turn back to me. It's as simple as that. No matter how far you think you've gone from God, if you turn around, he's right there. He says people will kill you and think it's service to God. Now, once again, there are the Jews who were wanting to kill them because they thought that they were blaspheming and all this kind of stuff. There were the Romans who wanted to kill them because they thought that they were desecrating their gods and goddesses. And then we have that wonderful phrase that I was talking about earlier that's actually the reversal of 3:16, where he said, God loves you so much, he sent me to tell you about him. And then in 16:3, it says, they do these things to you because they don't know me or my Father. Okay? Now, he was here to tell them about it, but they wouldn't listen. The leaders didn't listen. That's why the common people loved him, because he came and he did not give them all of these long, drawn-out lists of commandments and stuff to do. He just said, love God, love your neighbor, and do the best you can. And when you come up short, go to God and say, Lord, I came up short. I want to start over. And he'll say, okay, we can do that.
Yeah, like the song said, Lord, take me back to where I started.
Yes. He tells them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is very powerful. He says he is going to him who sent him. Jesus is going to the Father. That's the one who sent him, and he's going back. without Jesus' departure, there would be no gospel. Because the departure they're talking about, actually, is the crucifixion and being buried. That's why he's saying, you'll see me, and then you won't, and then you will again. Because they're going to put him in the grave. And a short time later, he was going to rise from the grave. If he left, the counselor would come. And so he's went to be with the Father. And shortly thereafter, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and just covered everybody that was a Christian. The word for the Holy Spirit in the Bible is parakletos, which means a paralegal. It's a legal term. It's somebody who actually applies, not the lawyer, but he's the one who applies the law to the people. He's kind of a intermediary between the law and the people. He helps them through trouble, and he pleads their case to God. You know, there'll come a time in which Satan, who is actually called the accuser, will come and say, okay, here's all the stuff about this person. How can you let him in? And Jesus will stand up and say, excuse me, that's one of mine. I already paid for him. He gets in. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to remind us of that. They often say, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Because it's not going to turn out well for him. He convicts the world of sin. You see, the Holy Spirit is dealing with everybody. He deals with us to comfort us. He deals with us to lead us in the right direction. When we do something wrong, he nudges us back towards the path that God wants us on. When the world deals with him, he convicts them. He says, you're doing the wrong thing. You better get your stuff together or you're not going to make it in the afterworld. And then he says, much will be explained later by the Holy Spirit. And of course, it was. If Jesus had just told them what was going to happen, they'd have looked at him and said, are you crazy? But afterwards, as they looked back at it, the Holy Spirit explained to them, here's what he said, and guess what? It happened. Here's how it works. And so all of a sudden, they began to understand. This is how I deal with the Father, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But they didn't understand until the Holy Spirit explained it all to them. And he couldn't explain it until Jesus had completed his work on earth. He says there's going to be a time of sorrow. In a short while, he's going to be gone to the grave. Then he would be back after the resurrection. Then he would go take his place in heaven. So now he's gone, not, we'll say, for good, but he's gone until the end of it all. Soon, they're going to be sorrowful because he won't be here anymore. Then, they're going to be happy because he had been resurrected. And they're going to stay happy because the Holy Spirit is going to keep reminding them, just as he does today, of what Jesus did and of the fact that we're locked in. Jesus said, no one can take anyone out of the Father's hands. And the Father has given everybody that I have brought to me, He's given to me. They can't take them out of my hand either. And they says, when the Spirit comes, then you're going to understand. And then He says, I'm going to be revealed. When you see this, you're going to get it. No longer figures of speech. You'll see what happened. You'll understand why it happened. After the resurrection, we'll speak plainly. And He said they would be able to understand. Now, a lot of people who don't understand, even today, will ask, why is it that suddenly there was a whole different way of coming to God? And we say, oh, we're just going to abolish the temple service and you do this. They don't understand. He didn't abolish anything. He finished it. He was the temple sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth. That's why there's no more sacrifice. Because you don't need it. He's already provided the ultimate sacrifice. And once we come to an understanding of what's actually going on, suddenly we realize we're nothing but a sect of Judaism. It's just that we're the ones who believe that Jesus was that Messiah that everybody else is looking for. So what does this all mean to us? Well, Jesus always prepares us. Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes He's preparing us for things and we don't understand what He's doing. And so we don't make the preparation. But Jesus is always trying to prepare us. The Holy Spirit assists us. If we will allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, He will show us what we need to do. This is one of the things that I was talking about. When I do sermons, very often I'll hit a phrase and I'm going, what am I going to do with this? And so I think about it for a little bit. I pray about it. And all of a sudden, it just clears. And I've got the phrase, how am I going to say this, Lord? And then all I have to do is start typing because He'll tell me just what to say. Times are going to be hard. And they're going to get worse. Sometimes it's so bad we think it can't get worse. Yes, it can. If you read in Revelation, you see stuff that is just horrendous. Some of it, we're starting to understand what John was talking about. Back then, when John saw it, he was just going, what in the world is that? Just think, if somebody was living in the 1940s during World War II, and they didn't just see the atom bomb that ended World War II. They see today and what we got going on and the weapon systems we've got and the things we do. What if it was somebody back in the 19th century and you said, we're going to have machines you can jump in and fly across the country? They'd think you're crazy. That's the whole point. Times are going to be hard and they're going to get worse. John couldn't even deal with what he was seeing. He just told us the best he could. And when we see it, we may be amazed. We'll probably realize what it is. But it'll be a strange thing. But that's okay. because Jesus is coming back. And the worse it gets, the closer he is to coming back. Okay? I once heard of an evangelist, and he was saying, you know, you better hurry up and get saved, because Jesus is not going to take much more of this. Okay? This was back in the beginnings of abortion and all that kind of stuff. And he's going, God's not going to put up with this for very long. And he's put up with it for about 40 years more. But he's not going to put up with it forever. Eventually he's going to say, that's it. You have really pissed me off. Now we're going to settle this. Always remember, Jesus is coming back. And when he does, we win, because he's unbeatable. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to get closer and closer to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Help us to get close to the Father so that we know what your will is and we can do it. Just guide us. We'd ask the Holy Spirit to be with us in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Mm-hmm.